Moving right along. Eastmans are going to be here. There's a lot going on, so I'm not going to mess with that. Okay, bulletin. Hey, we need cleaning help. Because, you know, we had sign-up sheets, but then some people dropped off, so some teams really need more help. And the eternal benefits are remarkable. I mean, you volunteer to clean a church, I think there's an extra place in heaven. I'm just saying. So if you haven't signed up yet, I am talking about 1 hour a month to serve the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. If I can get this thing to work. It's Mother's Day, we know that. Okay, there's a spaghetti dinner this Friday. It's a family dinner. At the end of the service, the Bakuses will be in the back. You need to sign up for that because the, you can just turn that thing off because I don't know what I did, but I know it was me. Jeff told me so. So anyways, sign up because the deadline is tomorrow. And you don't get any meatballs if you don't sign up by tomorrow. So please do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus. And I do want to pray for Donna Rose's family. Sister that was a long time member of this church, went home to be with Jesus this week. Lord, I lift up her family. Especially her son Brian, her daughter Lara, her grandchildren, Lord. Hard time, just a few days before Mother's Day, Lord. But Lord, I know you are a God of compassion. I know you are indeed a God of mercy. And I pray that you would touch that family, Lord. I pray that you would touch everybody that needs a touch from you today, Lord. Father, yes, today's Mother's Day, and we do pray and thank you for the moms. But Lord, I've been doing this long enough to know this multitude of emotions that come with this day. Let us look to you, Lord. Let us allow you to move in our lives when we don't understand, when we're hurting, when we're rejoicing. Let us turn to you. Lord, I lift up Bob Klein, Sylvia's husband, who just had gallbladder surgery yesterday, Lord. There's so much going on when we look at our list, Lord God. Just pray, Lord, that you would move in a powerful way, God. Lord, I think of my friend John Droege, who is in a nursing home now, unable to speak, walk. But just the testimony of his wife, Lord, how they know you're moving. And even in this tragic time, you're meeting them in powerful ways, Lord Jesus. Father, help us focus on you today. Help us grab a hold of who you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Sunday school, you are dismissed. You gotta love it. Today I'm speaking about above all else. You know, it's Mother's Day, but what really I'm talking about is every one of you. What's the impact of your life? What's your legacy? You know, what do you point to? I gotta admit, moms are fantastic, but let's not overdo it. You look on Facebook and you have these little kids looking in the closet and they see a superwoman cape. Oh, that's how she does it. I'm sorry, I'm a guy. And I remember back when they used to make collect calls. On Sunday, Mother's Day, the most calls were made in America. On Father's Day, the most collect calls were made in America. Moms, you're awesome, but you ain't Jesus. So husbands, if your wife's getting there today, say, I love you, but you ain't Jesus. So above all else, and we're going to talk about from John, we're going to talk about Mary. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you will not always have me." Lord God, we're going to look at the life of Mary today, a simple woman who lives in eternity. Her legacy is she looked to you. She valued you above everything else, even her own family. Help us to learn that lesson, Lord. Help us to realize, yes, Lord, mothers are fantastic. I'm very thankful for my mom, for my wife. Hey, my mother-in-law brought me to a relationship with you. But Lord, we are not here to build a claim for ourselves. We are not here to build a reputation. We are here to point people to the cross of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I thank you. In your name, amen. Hey, we do celebrate moms, and you guys are awesome. You know, as I prepared the message this week, I thought about, like, you know, like Moses' mom, where the Pharaoh said, "Hey, you know, I want you to, we're going to kill all the Israeli boys." So what did she do? She sacrificed her son, put him in a basket, and saw somebody else raise her. She loved her son so much, she gave him up. Yes, we know that she still had interactions with him, but then you look at it and say, you know, it must have been with mixed emotions, seeing somebody else raise your son. You know, and the thing I'm talking about today is all of us, not just parents, we have a responsibility to be a good Christian role model. You know, recently I'm reading a book, and the woman writing the book talked about these verses, and it really touched me. You know, Mary's complete, undivided attention to Jesus Christ. She showed that our lives are not meant to draw a following. It's not to highlight who we are. It's not to show people what we have done. But her sacrifice lived on eternally because she pointed people to Jesus. We need to set the example. You know, the first point I want to make is Mary wouldn't be denied. Now think about it. Jesus knew full well the Jewish leaders were going to arrest him. And he went to have dinner with his friend Lazarus, with Mary, and with Martha. He knew what was coming, but he still goes to Bethany to stay with his friends. Now, you know what I love about that family? People don't change. Lazarus is still sitting at the table with Jesus. Martha, she's still serving. I read somewhere else, you know, hey, Martha goes, "Jesus, tell Mary to get off her butt." He goes, "Hey, she's doing what's important." Now, it's not saying you shouldn't serve. It's not saying that you shouldn't do things. But I like how even in these verses, we see people hold form. You know, Mary, man, she's there with Jesus. She's worshiping the Lord. Now, you can read this account in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. But let me also say, this happened to Christ twice, because in Luke 7, you know, we see where he goes to the house of a different man named Simon, and a prostitute does the same thing. So these are two separate accounts. But this was no small act on Mary's part. So they're in the house, and she comes in, and she anoints the Lord. I mean, put yourself in that set of circumstances. How many of you today, if I said, hey, I want you to come up and share for 2 minutes, I don't want to speak in front of crowds. I get that. Mary stepped out of her comfort zone. You know, her devotion to Christ, it allowed her to rise above circumstance. Do I think she knew she was going to get criticized? Absolutely. She went against societal norms with what she was about to do. She ignored peer pressure. Well, we don't deal with that. Yeah, we do. A lot of times we don't share the gospel. Why? Because we're afraid of rejection. She valued Jesus Christ above her finances. She spent a lot of money on the guy. The point that's not up there is she risked being misunderstood and falsely accused. A lot of times, you know, when the Holy Spirit leads us, when God leads us down a path, we don't understand it, but we still have to do it. Doesn't make sense. As the scriptures say, to obey is better than sacrifice. She did both. The thing I love about Mary's example, her intimacy with Jesus, she knew what was coming. Dare I say, my opinion, better than the disciples, possibly. She was anointing him for death. Her life demonstrates the importance of time alone with the Lord. She didn't get to this place just because she showed up at 51 East Oneida Street every Sunday at 10 o'clock and left at 11:30. She didn't get there because before they ate dinner, she said a blessing, Lord, thank you for this food. I remember when I'm a young Christian, I was a school teacher and I worked for a service with purpose company with another Christian friend, and I'm young and he's an older Christian in the Lord, and we sit down to eat lunch. He goes, rub-a-dub-dub, Lord, thanks for the grub. I moved over here because I thought God's going to kill him. What kind of blessing is that? So what am I saying is Mary spent time with Jesus. We need quiet time with the Lord. I grow weary, and I've had this conversation with somebody this week. A friend of mine's in ministry, and man, they're going 24/7. I don't believe that's what God wants. I believe we live in a country where, hey, I'm a workaholic. Pat myself on the back. Let me show you my accolades. Yes, it's good to work and to be busy, but you can't be too busy for Jesus. Mary knew Jesus Christ. She spent time, she was purposeful, saying, Lord, I'm going to do this. We need to be mindful of what our lives say to other people. Hey, I get it. Being a mom, especially to young children, is rewarding, but it's also draining. You know, Melody and I are from the Morrisville, New York area. And we used to go visit my parents and her parents. And when our kids were young, the kids and I would laugh because we'd leave the east side, wherever our house was. And by the time we got to Fulton, man, she was out like a light. But she doesn't do that anymore. Why? Because she doesn't have a bunch of young kids that make her tired. So I get it's draining. But what does your life point to? If somebody was going to write your story, what would it say? This is one of the verses I try to live by. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Next point I want to do is let's look at lessons from devotion. Again, we look at the setting that Mary walks into. She knows what she's about to do is going to get people's attention. She knows that Jewish women in public do not let their hair down. She knows that she's going to be ridiculed. But her eyes were on Jesus Christ, nothing else. I don't care what you think. I got to do what God has called me to do. She took a pound of, you know, expensive ointment. A common laborer would cost him a year's wages. You know, I read one commentary that said this was a spontaneous act. I disagree. I think she knew what she was doing. I think she planned this out. I think she knew what had to do. And we have to realize, like Mary, like King David in 2 Samuel 24, wasn't going to give the Lord something that cost her nothing. Samuel 24:18, and Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go up, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite." Verse 24. Now, Arunah goes, "Hey, you know, I'm going to give it to you, David. No charge." But the king said to Arunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. My relationship with Christ is free. Salvation is free, but it cost me everything. It cost me writing the deed of my life over to Jesus Christ, saying, "I am crucified with you. I belong to you." And I think we need to look at that. We need to look at Mary and say, you know what? If I'm going to bless the Lord, I am going to do it sacrificially. That's faith. Faith is never giving out of your comfort zone. In fact, I don't think faith should ever be comfortable. I think we need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Above everything else, she valued Jesus Christ. And I look at David, and I love that. I go, "Hey, you know what? No, I'm not doing a freebie for God." That's why God, you know, we talk about first fruits. Boom. I get paid, first thing I do. Check to the church. First fruits, I don't even think about it, because the first thing I'm going to do is put my Lord first. You know, I love Mary over social norms and practices. You know, like I said, Jewish women did not let their hair down in public. In fact, 1 Corinthians 11:15 says, "And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy? For it has been given to her as a covering." She knew people were going to get upset because that hussy let her hair down. But she didn't care. Because she was going to anoint Jesus Christ. She was going to love her God above everything. So she was going to pour that all over him, and she was going to take her hair and wipe his feet. Do I have any volunteers, women? We have a foot washing after church. We don't have towels, but you do. Mary's love was more powerful than social convention. We live in a country that really downplays Jesus Christ. We live in a country where you can talk about almost anything other than the Lord. You want to shut down a conversation, man, you bring Jesus' name into it. We got to learn that lesson of devotion. We got to learn that above all else, I'm going to put Christ. Mary knew that she was sacrificing her glory. She knew she was going to sacrifice her reputation. She knew what had to be done. You know, I've shared this story before. I've got a book from Voice of the Martyrs. And I've shared this a few times, but bear with me. There was a church in Vietnam. Communists came to shut it down. Small room, and they go to it. They take the Bible. They put it on the ground and say, "If you spit on this and deny it, you can leave." Pastor goes up to it, lets a loogie on it. Walks out the door. Another woman comes up to it, same thing, walks out the door. Teenage girl walks up to it, bends down, wipes it off. "I love Jesus." Oh, they killed her. She went to heaven. Boom, in an instant. She didn't fear what was going to happen. She said, "Lord, I'm trusting you." That has to be our legacy. I can't just be a Christian today. People have to know integrity. What am I in secret? What am I when nobody is watching? We need to leave a lasting legacy. Martha served, Mary sat. Like I said before, this relationship didn't just occur. She cultivated it. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying. You need quiet time where you just reflect on the things of the Lord. We have to understand it's about being overdoing. It's about being overdoing. So Mary does this, and Judas, he just wants the money. The other disciples, I think, they're clueless that he's ripping them off. Jesus says, leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with me, but you do not always have me. What did I say last week? Intimacy over ministry. Not you lack ministry. Intimacy has to come first. Out of my relationship with the Lord, I want ministry birthed. When I gave my life to God and I followed him, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. Mary is showing us you don't do, then become. You become, then you do in God's name, or your work's going to be in vain. Her demonstration was public. It was very sacrificial. It was personal. And it was lavish. I'm not saying your sacrifices to God have to be lavish, but you better make sure that you're willing to. You know, there's times that God puts something on my heart and I go to my wife, and if I'm going to be fully honest, I kind of hope she says, yeah, I don't think so, big boy. Because, man, this is God, let you do it. And vice versa. You know, one of the things we try to live, principles we try to live by is once we get comfortable giving and we've adapted our lifestyle, well, then we go even deeper so we can trust God. In Matthew 26, Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. Again, intimacy before ministry. Jesus defended Mary, and he commended Mary. We celebrate Mom's Day, Mother's Day. But let's take time to celebrate and be encouraged by one woman's selfless act of devotion and love to Jesus Christ. You know, ultimately what matters most is what is the example we set. Do I point people to Dick Beaumont? God forbid me. I want to point them to Jesus Christ. You know, faith means you have to risk being isolated. If you read the words of Christ, they will hate you. Why? They hated me first. They're going to think you're nuts. I've been called all kinds of names because I'm a follower of Christ. But that's okay. You know, one of the things that has really, I'll be honest, grieved me this week is looking at different situations and people that don't turn to the Lord. I don't want to do life without Jesus Christ. I don't want to look at hardship, and I don't want to look at pain, and I just want to shake people, even people close to me, and say, you got to give it to Jesus. Mary understood there's no other answer. We have to be devoted to the Lord. It means we're going to be criticized, we're going to be misunderstood, and you're going to be falsely accused. That's called spiritual warfare. Another thing I know about devoted faith, people close to me are going to be impacted by it. I have seen too many Christians walk away because me saying yes is going to impact my wife. Me saying yes is going to impact my daughters. Me saying yes is going to impact my friends. I've never said no to God because of that. I've shed tears. I've had sleepless nights. And I've asked God, please. That's why 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient for me, for his power is made perfect in my weakness. That's my life verse. Because I have to turn to the Lord. But this is what I like about Mary. Truly I say to you, Jesus says, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Simple woman, simple act. Until Christ comes back, people are going to be talking about her. That's a testimony of a simple life devoted to Jesus Christ. She didn't have a mega church. I don't think she had a YouTube channel. She pointed people to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, we do celebrate Mother's Day. It's amazing. It's an amazing day. But I want to point people to Jesus Christ. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of people and do ministry, because that's not what James tells us, but it has to be with the goal of Jesus Christ. I want us to do things so people look at Christ. I don't want to build a legacy for New Covenant Community Church, because guess what? New Covenant Community Church is not getting anybody into heaven. Jesus Christ is. So let's end this by looking at summary. We need to be mindful of what example we set. What does that mean? What I say, what I put into my body, what I view, and how I treat people. I want my life to point people to Jesus. Devotion to Christ requires effort on our part. If you don't have a quiet time, if you don't have a devotional life, you're a 98-pound weakling with God. And he wants to make you into Arnold Schwarzenegger. He don't want you being a weakling. He don't want you to be Pee Wee Herman for God. He wants you to be a Rambo for God. Before doing intimacy with God, before ministry. I was in the church once and wasn't around here. The guy just got up there and he's speaking about, oh, you got to be busy. And he kept going on about his schedule. And, you know, you just got to do and you got to do and you got to do. And it, people are eating it up. And I got to tell you, no. I will do what God calls me to do. And if it's 24/7, if it's every night of the week, I will do it. But it has to be him and not the norms of society. It has to be Jesus above all else. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today's Mother's Day. Man, we thank you for moms. There's some good memories. Oh, I know. There's also some bad memories. We have the perfect Heavenly Father who loves us. Jesus, you're a gentleman. You say you stand at the door and knock. You don't barge in. But why do you knock? You knock because you want to spend time with each one of us individually. It's not a certain prayer. It's not a certain amount of verses that we read. But it's just spending time with you. Sometimes all it means is we sit back in a chair quietly, let you know we love you, and we just exist before you and allow your spirit to strengthen ours. Lord, I do love the testimony of Mary. I kind of would have loved to have seen the faces on all the disciples and everyone in the room when she knelt down. When she poured that over your head and over your feet. When she undid her hair. She wiped your feet. She didn't care what it looked like. She wasn't doing it for show. She wasn't doing it for attention. She was doing it because you were her everything. God, help us in making you our everything. Doesn't mean we don't value the other relationships we have. But Lord, I know I have what I have because of who you are and what you've done in my life. Lord, let us take a step back this week and let this not be words that fall on deaf ears. And let us spend quiet time with you and ask you, God, where do I need to let go? Where am I doing things that you haven't told me to? Where am I resisting you? And Lord, I do pray that you would help us not fall victim. Start with me, I pray, to peer pressure any longer, Lord. Let us speak your gospel, your good news to those you place in our lives. Let us trust you above everything. Let us echo the words of Paul that we are indeed crucified with you. It's no longer we who live, but Christ in us. The biggest joy, the greatest amount of peace is when I say yes to you, O Lord, and I trust you. Let us cling to that today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. One last reminder, in the back, Friday, family dinner. If you have not signed up and want to go, sign up. Blessings.